cliffcentral.com.
Hey, 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 you're listening to Students Uncensored with Ruby Chukwuri. I, of course, am Ruby Chukwuri, and I am 20 years old, studying at the University of Cape Town. Joining me in studio today is the radiant and charismatic Zanele Zimu.
Hey! Hello.
The Hello. Intelligent and very handsome Arjun Agarwal.
Oh, thanks.
All right, yes.
And the beautiful and thought-provoking Neo Mehale.
Hey. Yes, girl.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing today?
Oh, we chilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a good day?
Yeah, it's chill day.
It's a beautiful day. Yeah. Summer. It's hot.
Yeah, it is hot. So the topic of today's show is an open letter to the Department of Education. So today we will be focusing on how school, specifically high school, could have better prepared us for university and life. So I think that's a very, you know, important topic.
Mm-hmm. Definitely
since is. Yeah. I think, you know, we're 2 years out of high school and there's a point where you have to say, how do we improve things for the people that are going into the high school system now? How are we making things better? How are we reflecting on our own experiences and improving it for the next generation? Because I just feel like, what's the point if we don't try and better things for the next generation? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Arjun?
No, I think I completely agree with you, and you're very correct in saying that. And I think us as sort of the guinea pigs, in 2014 we wrote CAPS, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
And we were the guinea pigs through that system. And I think everything we've experienced thereafter has taught us so much so that we can try and improve the future. Because the future has a huge potential, I strongly believe, especially in this country and Africa as a continent. And if you don't tackle it correctly, you may just be left in a limbo and a loop that just keeps on running, keeps on repeating, and not actually growing.
Yes.
And education is one of the most important factors of ensuring that you grow.
Yeah, I think that definitely is important. And today we have different perspectives, mainly from students who have gone straight from high school to university. So none of us have taken a gap year. None of us have taken time out of school to work or gone straight into the working field from high school. So I think we're all definitely, you know, lucky and privileged enough that there were funds in whatever, you know, sense they came from, that we were able to follow the path that we have. Yeah. You know, a lot of people would like to follow this path.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like everyone to mention what they are studying and where they are studying. So Neo?
Ladies first.
I study at the University of Johannesburg. I study strategic marketing communications, and I'm in my second year. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a really cool degree.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And how about you, Zani?
I study at the University of Cape Town. Woo! With Ruby.
Hello.
I'm studying BCom Finance and Economics.
Hello, hello.
And next year is my last year, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully. It will be.
Yes, it will.
Yes, 2017 is our year.
Well, let's wait.
We all said that about 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we could only try again.
So let's take it slow.
Okay, so I'm studying at WITS, and for all those that may think this is a chick speaking, it is a guy. I get that a lot. I thought I should clear it out. I'm studying a BCom with a double major in finance and economics, just like Zani.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Want to become an investment banker, so yeah.
Yeah, ooh, that's awesome. I'm studying at the University of Cape Town, same as Zanele.
Yes.
And I am studying BCom, philosophy, politics, and economics.
Ooh, yeah.
None of my family really understands where I'm going with this degree, but we'll see how it turns
You'll
out.
Be for president.
So I'd just like to start off by asking everyone going around the table, what are the two words you would use to describe your academic year of 2016? So specifically, adjectives to describe academic year. Arjun?
Learning curve and intriguing.
Okay. How about you, Zani?
Ooh, very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. Just slightly.
Just a bit.
Just
slightly.
A pinch of traumatizing.
Yeah, just, you know.
And how about you, Nell?
For me, I'd say
I think people in my class would understand. Apply and learn.
Mm. Yes.
Apply and learn. So, oh, but hashtag featuring understand.
Yeah.
That too. Because it plays out, most importantly, in everything you do.
Yeah.
So definitely that.
I think my two words would be challenging, same as Zanele, and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely been a very interesting year academically. I think second year gets more in depth and
then first year.
Yeah.
Like first year you could learn like maybe 2 days or a day before.
Yeah.
Like 2 days or a day before, whereby second year, no.
I think it's like matric, right? After matric, we got into first year. In first year, we're like, I wish I was back in matric. Second year, you wish you were back in first year.
Yeah, that's very true.
I feel like it's a part two of everything. Like, you need to remember what you did last year. It's not like in high school where like, okay, third term is done. I mean, yeah, third term is done. Fourth term, we just need to remember everything that you did in third term. With varsity, everything that you did, even in first term. I mean,
definitely.
First term, second term, first semester, second semester, it all counts.
I mean, it's constant learning and revising. Yeah, I think, university is an interesting space. So we all obviously went to high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can mention our relevant high schools, but how was your experience at high school in a nutshell? So if you could just summarize it into a sentence, how was your high school experience, Zanele?
Wow, my high school experience. Okay, let me see.
I know, it's something to think about.
Yeah, it is something to think about.
I put you on the spot.
Because, like, it was good, but it was also just, let me say, it was okay. It wasn't the best.
Okay.
You know, but it wasn't the worst experience, but it was okay.
All right. Yeah. And which high school did you go to?
I went to St. Peter's College in Sunning Hill.
Shout out.
Shout out, guys.
And how about you, Nell?
I went to the National School of the Arts.
Yes.
Shout out. I could say it was a very unique and challenging experience because it helped me realize how much you needed to grow, because it was a different school. It was a unique school because I feel like we focused on something that everybody needs to do, which is self-expression.
And I feel like
people, you know, are very limited sometimes and feel like, okay, I don't know how to express myself. And whereas in that small environment, we were able to express ourselves in ways where we were accepting to one another. And, you know, going outside and being in university feels different because you're just there like, oh my goodness, like I'm different and I can see that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was different.
But it's always good to stand out. So.
Definitely.
For shizzle.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next answer because Arjun and I went to the same high school.
We'll see if
we had the same experiences.
Okay, well, I mean, for me, it was... Okay, I'll sum it up in three parts. A lot of drama, a lot of learning, and a lot of competition. I think it was just one of those facets of your life that you have to go through, and incorporated within that were all these different factors. So, I mean, I don't know if Ruby agrees, but sure, we got a really good education, but there was just so much else going on in the background that it was difficult to always keep in tune with yourself. Like, you couldn't always stay true to yourself. But it, at the same time, taught us some of the most valuable skills that we use today in varsity, in life, through communicating. So, I mean, I think it was just one of those, you know, phases of your life that you kind of had to go through.
And which high school did you go to, Arjun?
I wonder. Crawford College, Sandton. Shout out.
I think I've actually been thinking about this a lot over the last few days.
Yeah.
And when I went to Crawford College, Sandton, I'd moved there in grade 8. I just come from Crawford Lone Hill. Yeah. And it was very challenging because, like, I had a lot of family issues going on at home, and it was a new school. And I think in grade 8, I was very confused about who I was as a person. I was very focused on what people's perceptions were, you know, of me. So I think at the beginning, it was a very... challenging and very introspective time at high school. But I think for me, I focused a lot of my attention on academics, and academics-wise, my experience at high school was, I think, fantastic. Mm. I mean, I think we had great teachers, we had great resources, and definitely very privileged to go to, you know, the high school that I did go to. Yeah. Thank you to my parents. Shout out. But I think now, after high school, I'm realizing that we were in such a bubble of private school and such a bubble of rich people who saw certain perspectives but weren't open to a lot that I'm now seeing and discovering at university.
We were like, all of us felt this sense of gratefulness and privilege, which we still do to today.
Yes.
But it's that sort of, what do you call it? Communal upbringing that is funneled into you when you're in a community like that, that sort of builds a Chinese wall between yourself and the rest of the world.
Yes. And it's like you're in a sense of utopia. Yeah. You know, like we had everything we wanted.
I won't lie. Like, if you had to say, I'm going to a private school or something, everyone would be like, oh my gosh, she's better than us. We're only going to, like, I don't know. There was this thing of, like, there was this hierarchy that a private school was better than a public school. That if you went to a private school, you were a better person, which is sad.
It is sad.
And it's not always true, to be honest.
It's not.
Well, I feel like in my perspective, I went to a, I don't know if I should call it a semi-private. It was more so a government, because I went to a school with people who had different backgrounds.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that it taught me that, because I'm not saying that I'm the richest person. I could say I'm most average, I could say. But I managed to see how people, you know, from different backgrounds, from your Soweto to your Cape Town to your, you know, it's like a very diverse mini South Africa in one space, but we all share the same passion, different but big dreams, you know. So when I got to varsity, it managed to open my eyes in the sense of be accepting to everybody, because everybody is big in their own ways, you know. And like, it's cool in the sense that if people want to succeed in doing well at school, they know that they don't have to be shy. I can approach them easily and make friends that way. So that's what taught me about the difference in accepting backgrounds.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. You realize when you go to university that there are so many different cultural variations, sexual variations, you know, things that you just weren't exposed to in high school. Yeah, I think exposure is one of the most important things in this life.
And
you
how
know?
You balance the exposure compared to what advice you're given to also is dependent on you, because how you prepare yourself for the future is a big aspect, especially in like getting lost in university, because that's very, very easy. And the things you also hear about how peer pressure gets the maximum, because you hear it in high school as like, oh, peer pressure, I know myself, I'm not going to get there. But once you really get caught in the traps or you have a lack of education of it, then it becomes a problem. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
I think it also like pulls you away from communicating with other people, because you're so used to your own circle, your own sort of, what's the word? My apologies.
your own cult,
so to speak, at whatever school you go to. Then when you go out, like, I know we're discussing an open letter to the department, so like the whole aspect of communication. I know our school had public speaking. Things like that shouldn't be an extra.
It should be mandatory.
Definitely.
Like, subjects, because you get, like you just mentioned, getting lost at university, not only through your orientations or who you are finding yourself, but just simple like career problems or academic problems. You need to be able to communicate. And if you don't learn that in school,
you can't. Like, even with career days, it only happened once a year. I feel like in high school, you need it more than once a year, because you're trying to find yourself and you don't know what you want to do with your life.
And the support, too. I'm really grateful that, like, you know, there were support systems in my school. Because, I mean, yes, you could go to your LO teacher or a teacher in that specific subject who could at least give you advice, but that was up to you if you wanted to do that. Sometimes they throw hints at you and you need to be smart enough to hear what they're saying. So in the sense where it's up to you how much information you're willing to look for and how much you're willing to do to make a better education for yourself, because I feel like the journey that you choose is the journey that you take control of to some extent, but believe in God. Or
you can't do that if you can't communicate your ideas effectively. And so many people, even today, like in second year of varsity, there's a presentation, they're scared to get up and present because they have this inner, like, I don't know, demon would be the wrong word.
But. And you even get like people are getting A's, but they don't know how to speak.
Exactly.
And you need that when you get out of university.
That's the real world. You can't
presentation skills
converse or communicate with people without having that tenure too to do so.
Okay, so before we delve more into that topic, and I definitely agree with what you were saying, Noah, like, you're saying that in your experience in the school you went to, it was up to you to take that initiative.
Yep.
But I think, you know, that can become problematic because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you need, you know, and that's, yeah, I think that's where it becomes problematic because sometimes you just need a bit of guidance and a bit of steering into the right direction.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Like I mentioned before that it depends on what advice you listen to.
Yes.
I mean, depending on how you ask from it and who you ask it from, you should know how you're going to take it and how you're going to use it.
Mm.
So, for example, like with me, in terms of what I wanted to study, I know I had a deep desire to continue with drama because I was like, you know, I love it. And it was more in the sense of my dad and my mom would say, you know, you're a very creative, bubbly child, but we see you more in the sense of marketing communications. Mm-hmm. And I didn't agree because I was like, no, maybe I want to do journalism.
Yes.
Maybe I want to do politics or maybe I want to be something else, you know. But I began, once I took their advice and I began to see, okay, maybe this is the right step in the right direction, it really opened my eyes to the fact that everything that I wanted to do is incorporated in one.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So, Zani,
yes.
I wanted to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well did your high school prepare you in terms of communication skills?
Whew. Okay, let me think about this. A 6.
A 6.
A 6.
Okay.
And that's because I took public speaking.
All right.
Yeah. Because English, like, you'd have a speech, I think, once every semester, every term or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every now and then, those dreaded days.
Yeah. Every now and then, there were those dreaded days. Like, yeah. But it's because I took public speaking and because I took drama.
Yes.
So that prepared me. That helped me. But if I didn't take that, then I think I'd be, like, shy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just not confident in your speaking. Yeah.
That's the thing. Know? Definitely.
And how about you, Arjun? On a scale of 1 to 10, how well did school prepare you for time management?
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I made it early to today's show, so.
Yeah, that's a tick.
That's a first. I'll be honest, that was a first. No, I'm joking. In terms of, like, preparation and planning, I think all our teachers, our, like, administration at the school,
yes,
it was very professional in the sense that it was expected of us to make sure that we knew when something needed to be done and we had allocated enough time to ensure that it was done. That's my personal opinion. Like, although the onus was on us, it was something that we all aspired to, in a sense, that we needed to make sure that certain things needed to be done by certain times in order for us to be prepared for certain activities, events, tests, exams, the likes.
Yes. Okay, and drawing it back to Nell, on a scale of 1 to 10, I know you had touched on this topic earlier, but how well did school prepare you for the diversity that you are now seeing and experiencing in life and at university?
I think a 9, because of the fact that I was in the drama department and, you know, we got to explore different characters and different backgrounds, going from Europeans to your Greeks to your South African Sophia Towns and all those kind of plays. And then you get people in other departments like your arts, your dance, who also were very unique characters. So, and it also depended on the type of person. I like speaking to people. Like, it's a thing I have. I can just go up to strangers and be like, hey, you know. So it made me understand the different contexts and backgrounds. So I definitely say a 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would privileged. Have said
very impressive.
I feel very privileged. So. Yeah.
What were you saying, Zani? You would have said?
I would have said 3.
And why is that?
Well, I also took drama. At least that helped because you had to explore different characters.
Yes.
But with everything else, you're with the same type of people that, like, you know, the people that wanted to go study business, the people that wanted to be doctors. There wasn't this diversity.
There wasn't a mix.
Yeah, there wasn't this mix. that you experienced, which I would have loved to have experienced somehow. So St. Peter's, you know, do the right thing.
But I mean, that's the reason why we've chosen this topic and we're doing this show today.
Definitely.
Is that we can improve things and really go back to our schools and say, you know what, we're 2 years out of university. We were the class of 2014. This is what we have learned thus far. Mm-hmm. And these are the solutions or remedies we can give you to fix issues that we have
it's
experienced.
It's very important to provide the solutions. I mean, if we start listing problems, this can go on until kingdom come.
Yeah.
But the minute we start suggesting solutions, that's when everyone will really start listening. Because this is coming from people that have been there, done that. So they have to listen.
Mm-hmm. In essence. Okay, well, I definitely think it's time to really dig more into our main, you know, discussion today, which is an open letter to the Department of Education.
Definitely.
So we're trying to get the attention of, you know, Blade Zimande, Angie Mochecha, and everyone that is relevant in those bodies and that can actually, you know, make sustainable and substantial changes to education in South Africa. And so let's now discuss exactly how school could have prepared us more or better prepared us for university and life. So I know, Arjun, you said you had a few thoughts.
Yes.
A few thoughts that you'd like to share.
Okay, well, for starters, I just, like, just now, right, you mentioned those dreaded days in English when we had to do speeches.
Yes. Well, I mean, English was my favorite subject,
I mean,
so shout
we
out.
All, I think we all of us here, we did public speaking and drama. I did myself.
Definitely.
You didn't do drama. You did public speaking groups. Or did you do drama?
I did both.
Okay, you did do drama, So the minute you said dreaded, we need to shift that focus, that mentality from saying those days are not dreaded days.
Yes.
Those are the days when I can truly be myself. Those are days I can really show people that I can communicate, I can present my ideas.
Yeah, you are correct.
People should be happy that this day is coming up. So that could be a start.
That's the same with just an outlook or that we have towards school, you know?
Sure.
I know I was lucky, like, I have always enjoyed school. I don't think there was a day I was like, I don't want to go to school because I hate it. But I know a lot of people struggle with not enjoying, you know, school.
I wrote down about this, actually.
Yeah.
I was, sorry.
Arjun is very prepared.
I was, like, so psyched for this. Okay. So, I watched a video on Facebook, right? He's a video blogger, and he's actually an activist. I'm sure you guys have seen his videos. I forgot his name.
Okay.
But he does the most phenomenal videos.
Yes.
So, what he did is he took the education system in the States to court in his video.
Oh, I saw that video.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the thing is, right, he compared the past to the present. He took a Mercedes-Benz car back in the 1900s, compared it to a Mercedes-Benz today.
Yes.
Huge difference. We can see it ourselves.
Yes.
He took cell phones and technology. I mean, the iPhone of 2007 just compared to the iPhone of 2016 is a major leap. He then took fashion back in the 1900s to today. Then the last picture, which is the most poignant and the most thought-provoking picture I've ever seen in my life, was a classroom in 1910 and a classroom today. It's exactly the same.
Really?
Children's hands are up. Yep, you're right. Children's hands are up. There's a whiteboard. There's a teacher dictating in the front.
Mm.
There's not a single change in the past century in the classroom. But there have been so many changes in all other aspects of life.
Yeah.
So I go back to saying, how can we attain materialistic growth when the most important factor of growth, which is education, hasn't grown at all?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Definitely.
Even my mom was having this conversation with me the other day, and I mean, she was like the class of 1982. Sorry, mom.
She doesn't look that old at all.
She's still young.
But she was telling me that my mom learned to studied in Zimbabwe, and she was saying the same curriculum that I learned in the 80s is what is being taught
now. Yeah, like, I remember,
why is that?
I was asking my father, like, please could you help me with this maths problem and trick thing. He's like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, it's still the same. Nothing has changed at all.
We need to be, I think, like, more liberal and adaptive in the subject choices made at schools. Because
subject choice.
Grade 9 is too early to, like, choose.
That's another issue I had.
It's too early.
You don't know yourself in grade
9.
But you must take your career choice. You should at least be able to change by the time you're in grade 10 or 11.
People are just starting to hit puberty. How are we supposed to know ourselves by end of grade 9?
We don't know our insides. We must know our outsides. I mean, come on.
I don't know how your experiences were, like everyone in studio today, but I know when I was choosing my courses in grade 9, it was very difficult because on one hand, I have my mom who's quite liberal and understanding and saying, do what you are passionate about. But on the other hand, I had my dad who was more, I would honestly say more traditional and more, you know, black traditional mentality thinking, where it's like, do the math, do the science, do what will actually get you stable money and a job. And I found that very difficult. I mean, somehow, you know, my mom was able to sway what happened, and I ended up doing drama and history and business and things that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I was like, goodbye, science. And not saying that it isn't important, and not saying that I wouldn't have worked hard to get the marks I wanted in the course, but sometimes there's no point to doing what you think you will never be a part of, or that you don't ever think it will actually have any impact on your life or on your future. And it's so unfair that so many children are forced into those circumstances because, as we said earlier, they have not been exposed to opportunities that are there beyond math, science, and accounting. What do you think, Zani?
I really do agree with you. I feel like high schools, like, you're allowed to take, you can take your sciences, you can take your geographies, all of that. But I feel like they have, like, students should be forced to take something artsy. Just for self-expression and just to learn, like, who they are, you know, and to learn how to be themselves. Like, drama really helped me a lot. Like, even, like, yes, we got into, like, character and you weren't yourself, but in varsity, I was confident. I made friends quickly. You know, it just helps with small little things.
It's an outlet. Because you're so busy in your academic career, you forget to, like, be yourself. And drama lets you just, you know, free yourself completely.
Definitely. So I feel like one artsy subject should be compulsory. Like,
It's quite interesting that we're forced to do math, science.
That's the thing.
You know, those type, and they are compulsories.
Why can't we be forced to do drama? Why can't we be forced to do art?
Or public speaking.
Public speaking, debating.
Debating is so important.
Coming from a very grilling background of, you know, art is what you're here for, or your art is what you were here for, not necessarily. Well, yes, your academics too. I mean, I was very fortunate enough to go to a school where they really cared about the education that they provided for us. Not saying that, you know, I mean, I remember there used to be like kind of a war between the academic department and the drama and the other departments as well. Because of how much time each one wants to, you know, spend with each person so that they're like, we want you to get the best of music, or we want you to get the best of English as well, so that when you walk out these doors, because not everybody is going to end up on stage behind the, you know, not everybody's going to do that, because I realized that, okay, here it's a do or die. And for us, unfortunately, we had to work with what we had. So I would have loved to have very academic subjects in my school, in terms of the fact that we were given such a small basket. I wish I could have taken consumer studies as well. I wish I could have taken sport. We had no sports at our school. Because of the fact that, you know, our art took so much of our time. And we also had to juggle in our homework. I mean, I also had to juggle in JJC at some point because that was an extra activity, which was like beyond my school hours. But I had to, you know, balance. That's when I learned balance, because there was no time. So the reason why I said a 9 in terms of like preparation and stuff was because we learned balance in terms of, okay, you've got school, which will be your job, for example. You've got your art, which will be something that's really important to you. The balance needs to be there.
Yes.
So if you don't know how to balance anything in life, you're going to crash and fall, you know. So very fortunate enough to have learned the balance so early.
Yeah, I think that's important. And how about how school prepare? I think communication is one of the most important things that schools need to focus on.
Definitely.
Because whether you are an actress or a comedian or the CEO of a tech company, there's going to be a time where you need to communicate and express your ideas. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be eloquent.
Yep.
And it needs to be concise.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be
strategic.
Yeah, it needs to be strategic. You need to know how to get people excited. You need to know how to be emotive in your thinking, in your mannerisms, mm. In how you choose your wording. Because it's very important in how to know, okay, if I want Nell to do a certain thing for me, how do I approach it?
Mm-hmm.
If I want Zanelle to help me with something, how do I approach it? Mm-hmm. If I want Arjun to do something on my behalf, how do I approach it? Yeah. And there's no way that you are going to approach all those situations in the same way.
Mm.
It's very important.
Mm.
And like Mark Zuckerberg, right? He's one of the world's smartest and most intelligent intellectuals. He's an introvert. If you watch some of the first videos he uploaded on Facebook, you wouldn't want to listen to him.
Mm.
And now recently he just launched Jarvis. I mean, my dreams come true. he just launched Jarvis. And if you see the change in him, he's learned how to communicate. He's learned how to choose his words properly. It makes such a big difference. And that just shows you how important it is, no matter who you are, whether you're one of the world's wealthiest people or someone in second year in a university in South Africa, you need to be able to communicate.
Definitely.
I mean, mm-hmm. this is a bit of a touchy topic, Rubes, but standardized testing. Like, I know it's a long way and it's very idealistic to change that.
Mm.
But did you know that the person who created standardized testing said himself, these tests should not be used by anyone because they are crude, they are cruel, and they will mentally destroy whoever takes them.
Definitely.
And it goes back to that video that we both watched.
Yes. I need to be on Facebook a bit more.
Same.
No, like, shout out to my boo. Like, he actually showed me the video, and he was like, hey, look at this. This is, like, so revolutionary. And I was like, yo, that's so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the metaphor he used of how a goldfish should be forced to climb out onto a tree. That's, like, not fair because, like, you know, once in water,
it's
an
Einstein quote, was it? If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its entire life thinking it's stupid.
Yes.
Wow.
That's exactly what the test is doing.
That is powerful.
Exactly.
Really powerful. Mm. So, yeah.
I mean, we should rather shift to like real, like universities do this. This is where the big gap comes in from school to university. There should be real life practical tests, like application, like you mentioned. Like learn and apply, rather than just regurgitation of this theory that you sort of take in within yourself. Like universities are doing this. They're shifting their focus from just regurgitation to actual application of the knowledge, to actual practical instances. Like, I mean, in finance, Zani, you can probably vouch for this.
Yeah.
Sure, we're taught equations and stuff, but in an exam, you're given a stock, a legitimate stock on the financial markets, and you're told to work out and interpret, say, risk or return based on the formulas you're taught, and then speak about it.
Yeah, speak about it. You're told, like, okay, should you take the risk? Should you not? Definitely.
And it's not something out of, like, it's not, you're not just doing, you're not becoming book smart. You're becoming street smart at the same time.
Yeah, where in high school it was very book smart. Like you just had to pick up a book, learn that whole textbook off by heart, and then spit it out and then just forget.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty hard for me to adjust because I feel like I was more of a bookworm. Even in high school, you know, I was more of a nerd, I could say, because I enjoyed like my books. I really did. So going into varsity, it was more of the understand and apply and use practical examples. I'd learn the textbook and then I'd see my mark and I'd be like, no, but I studied. Like, why did I get this mark, you know? But then when they're like, apply, by simply watching TV or going, because my course allows us to use the internet and to, well, go into like, for example, a basic tweet for us to study a tweet and be like, okay, cool. This tweet was said by this person in such a way. How can we extrapolate and apply it to, for example, the journalistic values? Shout out, Miss Caroline. Shout out. So how do you apply this journalistic value? Is it hard news? Is it soft news? So it's kind of that approach where you take what you learn in school and you apply it to real life. I can't watch a TV advert the same because I always have something to say about it. I'll be like, man, like this brand could have communicated this in this way, because you're always trying to be innovative to the idea. So, you know, your creativity mindset shifts, because it depends on, you know, like when you go into varsity, when you have this mindset of, okay, I'm studying this because I want to become this. Then when they give you those skills, it's like, okay, cool. Because I have the mindset of, when I'm going to be sitting in my office one day creating an advert for this TV brand, I will be doing this in this way. Hey guys, I want to retire soon. So yeah, basically that's kind of the mindset. I feel like it's also important on your own mindset, because as much as the commotion and everything is going on around you, it's never too late to improve on yourself. Because my mom is such a significant example, in the sense where we were studying the same thing, but she was honors and I was first year last year. So there was two students in the house, and there was a teacher who was my dad, because he studied, he was a teacher in the sense where he's taught marketing communications and other subjects as well. So it was a house with two learners, I could say. And now you get my mom on the one hand, who's like, ah, this TV advert could have been in such and such a way. And then you get me, like, mom, nah, come on. It needs to be like A, B, and C. So it's never too late to improve on yourself. And at the time she was working. So now that she goes back into her job, she sees a better and a younger perspective.
Yes.
She used to complain of like, I feel like I'm the oldest in my class, because they're these young people who take a fresh approach. Because, I mean, I used to help her with her assignments as well. So it made me realize that, okay, where I'm going is not too far. So I was really privileged about that. So, yeah, don't be education. Everybody should be education hungry. People aren't education hungry, because I feel like there's so much. Like, my sister's an example where she moved schools because she wanted to achieve her dream of going overseas much quickly. So she moved from the government system to the Cambridge system, and I saw a significant difference.
Because
I saw that what she was doing is what I'm doing. So she did grade 10 and 11 in the same year, and she did her matric year this year. Shout out CBS. Basically I saw this. I looked at her business textbook, and I saw that it's similar to my marketing textbook. Well, my marketing communication textbook, you know. So it's kind of like, okay, let's pull up our socks, South Africa. We've got a huge potential. We've got creative minds. We should be hungry for the things that we're learning, and we should feel invited to come in. Because, like, for example, a friend of mine studies in Botswana. Well, she lives in Botswana. And she was telling me about how they get paid to go to varsity.
Yes.
And it's small incentives like that, but I understand the financial. But, like, I feel like we should be invited. We should not be. Because, I mean, for my sister, it was so sad, because for kids in the Cambridge system, they get rejected quite quickly in terms of application, like for provisional application for varsities, because they're like, no, we have to give way for government schools first before we can accept you. So meaning that they have to wait until like January only to go and try and apply. And then they get pushed away to private institutions, you know what I'm saying? Or overseas, because that's, I feel like those are the minds we also need to bring the economy and other skill sets to the playground, because I feel like South Africa's got such great potential in every way. If arts and culture could be pushed forward, I mean, that could maybe bring, you know, some way to support a student somewhere.
Societal norms need to be broken. Like the word you said, innovation. Maybe we should implement an innovation like hour in school as a subject to creatively open people's minds up.
Definitely.
Because the minute you're exposed, I think exposure, innovation, and communication are the three go-to words here.
And I study communication.
And I feel like you shouldn't be mocked on it.
You shouldn't be graded. This whole societal, you know, mold that, okay, you need to be an engineer, a doctor, what other normal stereotypical things are there?
Engineers, lawyer.
That's not how everyone needs to live. Like when I mentioned adaptive choices, people in the States, coding is a subject. When our entire world is moving towards a digitized future, why don't we adapt our teaching and our knowledge in that manner? I mean, Finland's banned all subjects. I don't think South Africa's ready for that yet. But Finland,
one step at a time.
Like they've gone ahead and taken every school subject out the teaching system, so that individuals can learn themselves first.
Yes,
learn what they like, and then pursue those interests I mean, we need to start, obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day. Yeah. We need to start building a foundation. And those foundations start at the lower levels.
Yes.
That's preschool and high school.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because building on what Arjun and Noah are saying is we need to create a culture of lifelong learning and exposure.
Yes.
You know,
definitely.
Schools have to start helping us in changing our perceptions towards education.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just touch on a topic that Zanele had mentioned earlier regarding career days.
Yes.
And that they only happen every so often, you know, and they aren't in depth, they aren't broad enough. I think that definitely
is
something.
And it's only for a certain grade.
Yes. Because, I mean, if you think about it, if you ask many grade 7 students right now, you say, what would you like to do when you're older? And it will be the same rhetoric. It will be lawyer.
Doctor.
Engineer.
Definitely.
You know, and it's like, why are grade 7s all still wanting to be lawyers? Then when they get to university and have applied for law, I mean, I applied for law.
Mm-hmm.
What a disaster it would have been if I had chosen that. But why is it that I always thought that was what I wanted to be? Why is it that just because I was a confident, outspoken child, that everyone was like, you, Ruby, you are going to be a lawyer? Why is that?
I feel like the reason everyone wants to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, is because we are taught to
make money.
Exactly. It's this M word, money, M-O-N-E-Y, that rules the world. Everyone's taught, okay, if I'm going to be a doctor, then money's going to come.
Right.
If I'm going to go into theater, money's not going to come, which is very sad.
But career days help that, you know? I'm saying they actually make us think that, because when you go into the hall and the, you know, the platforms are set up and you're like, okay, let me walk around and see.
Like, I remember our career day.
Yeah, it reinforces it. It perpetuates the norm.
Like, for our career day, there was only one, like, stand for fashion, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then everything else was like, okay, business, and then you have your doctor, then you have your engineer.
Accountants.
Yes, accountants, definitely.
I have a serious gripe with that, but we'll talk about it some other time.
I feel like the career days I'm exposed to were like more in depth, in the sense where, okay, varsity-wise. Mm-hmm. Varsity-wise, I feel like there was just like that informed perspective of like, okay, I'm here and I know what to do.
Yes,
back then it was very like touchy on this, like, okay, here's your norm and 1% different. I feel like I was that part of that maybe 1 or 2% population that was like, okay, I know I'm going in this direction because of my mouth.
But I feel like what high schools should do is that they should have like an arts career day. And then people go and then check it out, see what they like. And then maybe the next term, like accounting one, just like different ones. Don't limit them.
Mm, why don't they ask the students who they are trying to target?
Yes.
Mm. Say, which stands would you like at the career day
this
year? Ask us. Don't tell us what careers we should be looking into.
Mm.
Ask us.
I don't think we had a career day, to be honest with you, in high school because of the fact that it's like, it's either you're in the industry or not. So it was only those two options of, okay, from here I need to decide where I'm going, how I'm going. Because how I measured it was like, in grade 8 I used to think, okay, I've got a chance, I can prove my parents wrong. I can actually put bread on the table because of acting, because they always used to have the mentality of like, yeah, you're good at it, but you can take it after your degree.
Because our parents were also taught that theater does not make you money.
But you know what's interesting is that the same doctor or engineer that will tell you the arts aren't going to get you anywhere gets into his car and he turns on the radio
and plays the music.
He listens to the music that is made by composers
and
lyricists.
The thing is, they have the audacity to start insulting artists and being like, no, that's not a real career. It's actually quite disgusting as well.
And I mean, if money is the issue, incentivize those degrees.
Yes.
Incentivize, like,
definitely.
I mean, Gil Oved from the Creative Council, he's on Shark Tank right now. If we can get innovative, like-minded individuals like that who are industry leading and cutting-edge professionals
to show us it can be done,
you can incentivize everything we've mentioned. It's just that mental block that that's built into our society that, no, we need to do something that will make us money only. And people go into these careers and hate it.
Yeah.
They study accounting for 4 years and they're like, okay, no, I actually hate this. Why did I do it? Oh, because I'm going to get a fat paycheck at the end of the month.
Which is very sad.
It is. You're not, what are you doing for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah,
but you have you have to look at what the root of the problem is, you know.
And it's also from home.
Yes, it's from home, it's from school.
From a very young age, our parents say, no, you have to be a doctor. That's going to make you money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sorry, you can continue.
I was just saying that you were saying it's from home as well. And I think what schools need to do is to, if they're parents or guardians in the children's lives, integrate them more into the learning process. Yes. Because, but besides even parent evenings, because that only comes every now and then, and it's more for the parent to tell it's more for the teacher to tell the parent what is going wrong with their child. You know?
I feel like with us, we were at my school, how it worked. Mm-hmm. In order for us to get our reports, you had to bring yourself and your parent to the parent evening, and you had to go around each table to the teacher to you.
So that is a great, great initiative.
Yeah. So with that, I'll never forget my grade 8 experience where for the first time, my mom brought me to parents' evening and I had to go get my report. So my drama teacher, she was very passionate about me, but the thing is she was very strict. So in the sense where we'd sit and then I would be sitting and then be like, yeah, I'm proud of my 60. You know, I'm not the best, but I'll get there. You know, I'm still trying. Yeah, they shouted at me, both tag team. They were going one hand. They were like, you need to improve because you're better than this. You need to do this because you're better than this. It's not necessarily to hurt my feelings, but more in the sense of to help me pick up my socks or to help me realize what I'm doing wrong. Wake up to the call. And from that moment on, it was just like, okay, I'm going to prove you guys wrong.
Yes.
Because I know I'm a shining star and I'm a shine brighter.
Mm-hmm. So. Shine bright like a diamond.
You know? Baby in the house.
So that process, I was really grateful for it. And then, like, I saw a difference in grade 9 when my marks started to improve, like, dramatically. And then, you know, it came to a point where, okay, I'm not supposed to say this, but, like, my dad would, like, you know, would go to one teacher, get the report, and then be like, oh, no, she's doing great. Like, she's such a lovely student. Like, my dad would be like, she heard everything. You're good. He'd go to McDonald's, buy me something. Drop me off at
that was me as well.
Dude, McD's was awesome. Yeah. Yes, like, that when was the day reward. Got your report. Yeah. That was, like, amazing.
Bless my dad's soul for buying me McDonald's, because... No, I wouldn't have to go around every table because it would be consistent. I'd know that, okay, I have to change my behavior because then it's going to be grilling hours because then they'd have a list. They'd
you know that there are repercussions.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Definitely. Like minus stuff in your life.
I think also something I've noticed now being at university that school and specifically life orientation as a subject could have done better was...
Much.
Yeah, a lot. But... Last year, I wanted to apply for a leadership position at university, and this was in my first year. And I was like, okay, what are the requirements? So they said, CV, what are your leadership positions, and, you know, so forth, and a motivation letter. And I thought to myself, I've never written a motivation letter.
What?
So now I had to go onto Google and say, what is the format for a motivation letter? And I was thinking, why do I not know that? I'm 19 years old and I now need to apply for a position and I do not know how.
Yeah.
The other requirement was writing a CV. And I thought, I don't have a CV. Why don't I have a CV?
Mm.
I'm 19 years old. I want to apply for a leadership position. Internships are going to come up that I need to apply for. You know, the degree is only 3 years. It runs by. You're going to you're going to need to apply for jobs. Why don't I know how to write a CV? And you think to yourself, there's going to be an interview. Have I ever been to an interview or how to conduct myself in an interview or how to dress and how, you know, how to change my appearance or...
Alish, yeah. I should have taught us that.
Yes, life orientation.
Real life skills that we need. Like, although these opportunities don't exist in South Africa, I know Ruby and I were having this conversation a while back where corporates don't take up internships as they do in the States. They don't want to pay for the cost.
And a lot of them do that because they don't want to have to train people.
Yeah.
about telephone etiquette, workplace etiquette, how to navigate the working environment.
I think this should be taught to us in school. And like with me, with my CV, like, sure, you can go on Word, on Google, you can get a template.
Mm.
But like I mentioned in the beginning, I want to become an investment banker, right? So I made this CV of mine from a, from a template I found. I had everything right. So I went to a banker. I was like, can you please review it for me? And he said, okay, look, your CV is good. It's got everything, but bankers don't look at a CV like this.
Yes.
Bankers have a specific format for a CV. Mm-hmm.
They are career
industry specific. And you really need to be exposed to that. Because just now, fine, there's a great opportunity in varsity, whether you're doing accounting or whatever it is, and you go apply, and then your CV is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there thinking, okay, what now?
Yeah.
That you shouldn't have to think that way. I just really feel strongly about that.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like because of, maybe I'm speaking from a personal perspective of how much I've kind of, I'm a hustler. I remember I wanted to, for example, I wanted to alleviate the cost of me going to a matric vac.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had to do was basically apply for the job, meaning that I had to create a CV. And prior to that, I did work for U Party as well. So that from an early age forced me, like, okay, you need to wake up and you need to learn how to do A, B, and C.
Mm.
So it depends on what opportunities come to you and how they come to you. I remember I went to my LO teacher and I asked her, because we had to apply motivational letters for applying for positions on the RCL in terms of, okay, why do you want to be this type of an RCL, or why do you want people to vote for you in the sense? So you had to write a motivational letter, and also for applying at Rhodes. I don't know if anybody's applied to Rhodes, but
for
Rhodes, you need a motivational letter.
Yeah, you definitely need a motivational letter. So from that, and even for bursary applications, you need to learn how to do motivational letters. So it depended, and my English teacher used to say, I'm available, guys, and if you need me, want to use me, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Because she'd always use, say, for example, oh, no, I wrote Tandeka's motivational letter. I wrote so-and-so's motivational letter. I helped her with hers and hers. So, yeah, that's pretty much going to your English teacher, whoever you have. And like I said before, we had to use what we had. I think that's up to everyone. So,
yeah, I think that's definitely important. And
use
also,
what you have.
Yeah, use what you have. And also, like, touching on the subject of LO, I know we briefly touched on sex education, but, you know, and I'm sure someone listening now would be thinking, oh, that's a taboo subject. What does that have to do with school and curriculum? But the reality is that people are having sex whilst they're in school. People go to university and you have even more independence, even more freedom to do, you know, things that you want to do. And it's like, if you aren't taught how to navigate the emotions, how to navigate the space, how to have safe, protected sex, that your life orientation teachers should have been drilling into you since grade 6-7, you know, that I know in our school we would briefly touch on sex education, but it wouldn't be focused on. It wouldn't be the most important point. And it would be a taboo subject in the sense that, you know, we're talking about this because we have to, but don't have sex.
Yeah.
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 Well, we'd touch on a lot of things. We'd never actually delve into details and come up with solutions.
Or they would bring, like, a person in grade 8 or 9 to come speak to you, then it's done.
Yeah. Then it's, that's it.
Because I remember in grade 7, you know, they were like, there was always the talk.
Mm.
Yeah. So then it's done.
The talk.
You never hear it ever again.
People they'd separate the boys and the girls.
Mm-hmm. Which is a major problem.
Yep.
And because I feel, because, like, people, they'd separate the boys and the girls, and then they'd be like, okay, so this is what it is. This is what's inside of you. This is how it's going to happen. Done. Never talk. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Mm.
Come grade 9, same story. Don't do it, guys. Please don't do it. And I feel like it's more of a societal problem because we all know, but then things happen.
Yes.
So it's more, like you mentioned, a taboo subject, but we also need to be, I feel like, I don't know, like varsities, by giving out free condoms in the bathroom, I feel like the whole approach of giving out free condoms in the bathroom, it's more in the sense of, we know you're doing it, but protect yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I feel like now that it's there, we should continue saying, stop, don't do it. But at the end of the day, it's up to the person. We can't force that.
I mean, we as millennials, we want to live in an idealistic society. Although it's difficult, it can be done. And if anyone can do it, it is us as the millennials. So we need to like collectively start working and getting it done, I strongly believe.
I think also, I mean, there's so much I'm realizing now to discuss on this topic.
Definitely.
And I definitely think we should do another segment of this.
Yep.
But one big thing that I would personally like to speak about is, you know, besides universities, high schools perpetuating norms of what it is to be successful, what it is to be smart, one issue that I saw is I've always been a student that has excelled academically,
mm-hmm.
and I have learned how to work hard. But now when I have been thrown into the university sphere, I've realized that it's not as easy as high school came to me.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of realizations that, you know, you're used to getting A's and then all of a sudden it's a struggle to pass a course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we have to speak to matriculants about. We have to say, yes, reach for the moon, work hard. This is how, you know, you get good marks. But we have to teach people how to deal with emotions. Part of education is learning how to deal with our emotions.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like in varsity, you have to choose. You have to choose between dealing with your emotions mm-hmm. or doing well academically.
Yes.
In high school, we need to be taught how to deal with both. So in varsity, we do not struggle. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Mm. Because, I mean, it goes beyond even academic breakdowns or anything like that.
Definitely.
It also goes into people who now are living out of home and have to deal with a sense of independence that they aren't comfortable with.
Mm.
It has to deal with mental illnesses that we do not address in high school. I do not remember one day of discussion about a mental illness.
Mm.
But now you get to university and you're like, why am I unable to sleep? Why do I have insomnia? And then you think, I have 3 tests tomorrow. I am highly anxious.
Mm.
I might have anxiety issues. Mm. Why am I not able to communicate with my friends this week? Why am I feeling so low? Why am I having suicidal thoughts? And you might be depressed. Yeah. And it's like teachers just kind of sideline that. They don't teach us about it. And life orientation is the subject that is meant to do that, you know?
I get you.
Yeah.
Expected because of society to do well as we did in high school, in university, when they're like a complete bridge apart.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be more counselling services available.
Qualified counsellors.
I feel like in the sense where, yes, your allo teacher has to be like someone you're able to talk to, you know, about you certain like things that you might be going on at home, because a lot happens in like people's families, like especially in high school. You could be doing your matric and then someone who you really care about passes on, or something really deep happens. Because I can take myself for example, because in the beginning of the year, our drama teacher asked us, what is your happy place you want to be at as soon as you get your matric results? And then I said, the one thing I want to do is be with my granny. And unfortunately, as I was writing my June exams, she passed on.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, she's an angel now, so yes. I appreciate that she goes everywhere with me. So, yeah, it's one of those things where you need to be able to deal with that pain.
Yeah.
And immediately after her funeral, I had to go and write an exam. So it was one of those things of...
How do you cope?
How do you cope? And I was in hostel. You know, it's one of those things. I'm far away from home. I don't have anyone around me. They take away my phone during study, you know? So, yeah, counseling services.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just... you know, to end it off, I'll definitely just give a bit of a summary of what we've all discussed. But I'd just like to thank everyone for coming into studio today.
Thank you.
Because, you know, this is just such an important conversation to have, and it's an ongoing conversation. I think, you know, to the Department of Education, help us have a positive outlook on school.
Mm-hmm.
Help us choose the right degrees or career paths. Give us more exposure. Give us these innovation hours or times to be free and creative. Adapt our learning. Decolonize our learning. Let's adapt our curriculum. You know, let's make life orientation a substantial and sustainable subject. Let's not just make it an hour to waste time, because that is a lot of what it was. It was an hour
Definitely.
Of time wasting and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'd have to say. And just listen to the students, help us cope with our emotions and prepare us for the real world and for university. I mean, that's all I would just like them to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to Students Uncensored with Ruby Chukwuri. CliffCentral.com.